Hello everyone, welcome back to Partida Partida Podcast, an English-speaking podcast about all things Atleti. So we're doing things a little differently today, as I'm going to be interviewing an Atletico fan that travels regularly to stadiums to support the team, and maybe she can share some of the stories with us. So I'm trying to make this a regular series on the podcast, and I'm trying to find more interesting stories to share on the podcast. So do tell me if you find this interesting, and if you want to see more of this in the future. And if you have an interesting story yourself, you can share it with us on Twitter, on the direct messages, and we will review them, and hopefully you get a chance to join us on a podcast in the future. So without further ado, let's get started with the interview with Atletica de Nueva York. Welcome back everyone to the podcast, and here I am with the one and only Atletica de Nueva York. Welcome to the podcast.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me.
It's such a pleasure to have you on with us, and let's get right into it. For starters, please tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Ashley. I am a member of the Peña Atletico de Madrid of New York, and I live outside of the New York metropolitan area. And I have been a flight attendant for a major airline for about 32 years, a little bit over that. And basically since 2014, but pretty much full time since 2017 or 2016, I arrange my whole work schedule around Atletico de Madrid so I can attend matches both in Madrid, other cities in Spain, and in Europe for either Champions League or the Europa League for the 2017-2018 season. And I also try to work to improve relations between different Peñas within Spain and outside of Spain. So I sometimes travel along with my work and for personal travel to meet up with members of other Peñas in different cities like Brussels, London, Edinburgh. Because it's important that we all stay connected during the season and even outside of the season. And that's pretty much what I do. My living room is a partial museum to the club. I've got the shield from 1903 and the one from 1947 in my living room, along with my butaca for a seat from Vicente Calderon. And my collection of camisetas keeps growing, but I've just found over the years that it's the people of the Atleti that make this so special.
Very cool. So you seem to have dedicated your life very much for Atletico. When did this start? And why did you start watching Atletico? And what was it about them that made you fall in love with them?
As a child, I did play football in the United States, but in the late 1970s and early 1980s, it wasn't a popular sport in the United States, nor was it readily available for girls or young women. And I kind of moved away from European football or football in general and fell in love with baseball and watched that for a long time. And then in the mid-2000s, I returned to living on the mainland. I had been living in Hawaii for some time. And I started becoming interested in European football because I discovered the quality of it was amazing. And so I started going to some matches in about 2010, 2011, when I could, San Siro, some in the UK. But in 2014, on April 2014, April 1st, I happened to have a layover in Barcelona, and Atletico was playing Barcelona in Camp Nou. And I went with my boyfriend at the time, and we went to see the match. And my boyfriend at the time, who's now my former boyfriend, was a Barca supporter. And we went and we scored. Diego Rivas scored the goal. And I remember sitting in Camp Nou stunned because I'd seen Atletico play on television, but I had never seen them play in a stadium. And I was stunned. I was overwhelmed by the quality of play of the team. I was blown away by the defense at the time. Of course, Diego Godín and Juanfran, Felipe Luis. And I remember my boyfriend was furious with the result of the match. I looked at him. I said, that was one of the most amazing defensive matches I've ever watched in my whole life. So when I returned back to the United States, I started to research a bit more about Atletico. And that was my first live experience with them. So I began to look online a bit about them. But at the time, I didn't know how to really find any information in English. So I decided I needed to maybe start learning some Spanish. So I did. And then in 2016, I went to my first match at Vicente Calderon. It was the match of Atletico against PSV Eindhoven. And so I went to the match very early. I was in Madrid for work on a layover. And I went to the match very early to obtain a ticket. And I had to kill some time. So I went down the street from the Calderon to a bar or restaurant. It was a beautiful day, and I secured a bocadillo de jamón, a ham sandwich, and a beer. And I sat outside and read a book. I didn't know anybody. And I was by myself, and a big group of guys were at a table near me. And I was just enjoying the day and watching the atmosphere and taking some pictures. And all of a sudden, I hear this noise, like somebody's trying to get my attention. I hear this psst, and I look around and I don't notice anything. And so I go back to reading my book, and I hear another psst, and I go back to reading my book because I still can't figure out what's going on. Well, all of a sudden, a guy gets up from this group of people at this other table and comes over to me and pokes me in the shoulder and says, Señora, señora, ¿por qué estás sola? Which is, ma'am, why are you by yourself? And I said in Spanish, the limited amount I knew, because I'm American and I don't really speak Spanish. And they said to me in broken English, that's not a problem. If you're here, you're for the Atleti and you're with us. They dragged my chair over to the table, sat me down, made sure I had another beer. And they said, why are you here? I said, well, this is my first match and I don't know what I'm doing. And they said, well, fine. We'll teach you how to sing the hymn. And I'm looking at them going, I have no idea what you're talking about. And sure enough, I started to learn immediately the words to Yo me voy al Manzanares, al Estadio Vicente Calderón. And that's where it really all started, because from that moment on, that match, which if you recall, we won in extra time and penalty kicks. That's what started it all, because the experience that I had in that stadium that night with those people and then the people that I sat with in the section I was in was so amazing. I knew that night I had found my spiritual home for Spanish football. It was right there. And that's why I'm here today.
Amazing. It seems like the fans are very welcoming, and by that story, very open to have foreigner fans among them as well.
They really are. I have been to San Siro. I've been to Old Trafford. I've been to the Etihad. I've been to stadiums in Germany, France, and it was the, and I've been to other stadiums in Spain. I will say the stadiums that I have always felt the most at home at were the Vicente Calderon, of course, our new stadium, the Metropolitano. And then the next favorite one for me is San Mamés. That is one incredible experience. If you ever get a chance to go, do that. And I also really love the people in Getafe and the people at Leganés. I've been out there. They are really wonderful and welcoming people. And so were the people in Levante, though we all know it's not been much fun for us to play against them in recent years. But the people for Atletico have been very welcoming of non-Spanish speaking people. When they are in my section where I sit in the Metropolitano, the people in my section know that I speak English, obviously, and they will say, "Hey, that woman over there can help you," or they'll come and get me and say, "Ashley, can you help this person? We don't know how to help with them." And I always try to make sure I explain the history of the club as was taught to me, because people were so welcoming and kind to me and made sure that I understood from the first day that it's a responsibility for a lot of people to represent this club properly.
Wonderful. So you said that you travel a lot to watch Atletico right now. How often do you do it? How often do you get to watch Atleti in the flesh?
Well, I'm a bit unique in that I have been a season ticket holder. I am a socio de abonado in the Metropolitano, and I have been there since the stadium opened in September of 2017. So I arrange my flight schedule around the matches to the extent possible. It's a little difficult at times because La Liga does not necessarily schedule the games in advance so that I can make sure I can know well in advance when I need to work. So sometimes I have to do a lot of last minute changing of things. But I generally, during the season, can go anywhere between 1 to 4 times a month, depending on how often we're playing that month in Madrid, or if they are playing, for example, against Getafe or Rayo Vallecano, or previous years, Leganés. I could also arrange to attend there on my 24-hour layover for work in Madrid. So I would go. I think the most matches I ever attended in 1 month was either April or May of, I think it was April of 2018. I think I went to 7 matches in 1 month.
Amazing.
Yeah.
We all hear a lot of stories about the atmosphere inside the stadium. Can you tell us a bit about your experience with it and what it actually is like?
For the person who goes for the first time, it can be really overwhelming. I'll never forget my first time in Vicente Calderón and how absolutely deafening it was. And it was not just deafening to the ear, it was also sensory, because there's so much to see and take in, and there's so many things going on in the stadium besides what's happening on the pitch. You've got the people in Fondo Sur, the Frente Atlético, leading the singing and the chanting, and you can feel the rumble in the stadium of people jumping up and down. And then, of course, what we're doing on the pitch and following that at the same time, it is can be really, really overwhelming. And I've taken some coworkers of mine with me to matches, and they said the first time they just couldn't absorb it all. It's really, if you've never been able to do it, I tell everyone, even if you're not a fan of football, you should attend a La Liga match, especially the Atleti, once in your life, just to see and experience it, because it is so amazing. But when we are all singing the hymn or any of the other supportive songs that we participate in, you just hear it. And it starts at one end, and everybody just starts to join in. And the moments when we all stand and raise our bufandas, our scarves, and cheer on the team as one, it's amazing. The most magical nights, I will honestly say, are the Champions League matches are off the charts crazy. And of course, when we play Barcelona and, as I call them, Las Trampas, Madrid. Those nights are, you can tell it's a different atmosphere, highly competitive, very anticipated. People are in, the fighting full at Letty spirit, and it is really something to behold. And I am very proud of that and to be a part of that, because I will, of course, have been in other stadiums besides ours or in other stadiums within Europe. And sometimes I kind of look at them and say, wow, this is really kind of dull compared to what we do. And so it's interesting to make the comparison, but I, all the matches I've been to, I've never been disappointed with the way that we support our team.
Yeah, it's. I mean, you're giving me a sense of pride just hearing those stories, and I've actually never been there. Obviously, high praise for the Calderon, but currently, how does the Metropolitano compare to the atmosphere in the Calderon?
I will be very honest. As beautiful as the Metropolitano is, and it's a nice modern stadium and with all of the bells, whistles, and amenities, I would go back to Vicente Calderon in a minute. That was probably one of the most special places I was ever at in my whole life. I get emotional talking about it, but it was amazing. The Metropolitano is different in that, of course, it's quite a bit larger with over 68,000 seats. The one thing that has been an adjustment, and we've all talked about it, those of us who attend matches all the time, is that there's quite a bit of an echo in there. So we've kind of had to adjust with how we cheer together and sing and start different, I don't know how to explain it, different ways of supporting the team. One thing that I will say in both stadiums, but in this one, when we do the tifos, when we do the mosaics in the stadium, when we all hold up the different cards to spell out the message of the match, with this stadium being so large, it is really cool. It is really cool to see that all come together. It was a change also because when we were at Vicente Calderon, many people in Peñas had their bar or restaurant or place in a park that they would meet for after the matches. So everyone had to learn new habits and make new rituals to find where they were going to go. When we moved over to the Metropolitano, and that did take some time, but people have found their places and it was great. And then, of course, the pandemic hit. So now that we've returned to the stadium after not being in it until August of last year, people had to find their rhythm again, and we're getting back into it very well and very quickly, I'm proud to say.
Wonderful. You just talked about tifos, and you told some stories on Twitter about some of your favorite moments at the stadium. One of which I remember, you talked about participating in the tifo that preceded the Leicester game in the Champions League, and you said that was one of the most wonderful experiences you had at the Calderon. Do you have any similar stories you can share with us right now?
Oh, about tifos or just in general?
In general.
Wow. That tifo against Leicester City was amazing, and I remember exactly where I was in the bottom part of that A for Atleti. And I'll never remember the Leicester City fan who ended up securing a ticket that was next seat next to me, who was not going to participate, and we all shamed him into participating in the tifo. He didn't last through that match. He left early. That was some match. Other experiences that have been amazing in the Metropolitano, they all, of course, when you're there and we're winning, like last fall when we played Barcelona and we won, I had never seen that in our stadium. We played Barcelona, and I had not seen them win. To witness that and to be that was very emotional. The TIFOs that we do for the big matches are always huge. Another time I remember was in 2018 when we were in the Europa League and when we defeated Arsenal at the stadium. And it was this sense of relief knowing that we were going to the final in Lyon, France. And the stadium just erupted. And everybody jumping up and down and screaming and crying and hugging. And we were so loud that night. It was deafening. The Champions League matches where we played in February, I usually try to take some time in February and live in Spain for a while and take Spanish lessons so I can try and improve my knowledge and be able to experience more of this. And I usually travel. I usually go to school in the city of Salamanca, and I participate in activities with the Peña Atlética Salmantina. I hope I said that right. And we take a bus from Salamanca to the stadium, and we attend the match, and then we drive all the way back to Salamanca. We take the bus. They rent a bus, and we all get on the bus, and we drive from Salamanca to the Metropolitano. We attend the match, and then we go back. And I was there the night that we beat Juventus in 2019, yes. And that was probably one of the most insane things I have ever witnessed. That night, and then I was at, not in the Metropolitano, but I was at Liverpool when we defeated Liverpool in Anfield in March of 2020 before everything stopped with the pandemic. That will be a match I will never, ever forget, being in that stadium with us being louder than all of them and then winning that match was one of the most unforgettable things I have ever done. And I'm also proud to say I was there.
Wonderful. What is it about Atleti that makes you invest so much time, effort, and money into following them? Is it like the fan base, the connections you made with the club, or is it simply the connections you made with the fans?
I'd say it's a little bit of both. It's mostly about the personal aspect of the really wonderful, amazing people I have met through this club all over Spain. I have now hundreds of friends and acquaintances because of this. But I will also say it is also about the history of the club and how there are so many people who are trying to preserve it and make sure that it's a living part of what we do all the time, not just something that happened 20 years ago or 30 years ago or 50 years ago. It's about making sure that future generations of Atleticos understand why we love this club. I was working a flight from New York to Madrid, and there was a gentleman sitting in a seat in the business class section, and I went up to him and I welcomed him on board my aircraft, and I said, I will be able to remember your name quite easily. And he said to me, well, why is that? And I said, because your last name is Garate. And he was one of the most significant players for Atletico de Madrid in the 60s, 1960s. I thought he was going to fall out of his chair. He looked at me and he said, but you're American. I said, yes, but I'm for the Atleti. He said, my father is never going to believe this. Well, that's when I almost fell over, because I couldn't believe that I was talking to José Eulogio's Garate's son.
He
was just stunned. And I'm looking at him just as stunned. So we did talk for a while. And finally, he said, I have to ask this question. He says, even though I shouldn't, he says, can I have your address? And I said, well, why? He says, my father will never, ever believe this.
So a few weeks later, I gave him my address, and a few weeks later, I get a envelope in the mail here in the United States, and his father sent me a personal note and a photograph of him, and he signed it. And I have it.
That's absolutely wonderful.
And that small interaction and that experience only intensified my desire to learn more about the history of this club. So, in order to do that, I purchase books in Spanish to improve my Spanish knowledge, but it makes me learn about the club, and then I can ask my friends for help about, what happened here, or were you there for this match, or what happened with this player? And then I can then share that knowledge with other people who might not be aware of it simply because they don't speak any Spanish or very little Spanish. And I've met so many people who have been able to tell me amazing stories of what they have experienced throughout the years. One of my dearest friends, who sits in my section, his father was personal friends with Don Vicente Calderon, the former president of the club, who passed away a number of years ago. And he was the groundskeeper for Vicente Calderon. So he was the one who would unlock the stadium doors to let everyone in and start. And he was the one who locked everything at night. And he has told me amazing stories of his father's experiences and of what he saw. He attended matches at the original Metropolitano. That's how long he has been with the Atleti. So
Incredible.
it's these amazing people who have welcomed me. I'm very active with the Peñas. I just returned from Edinburgh, Scotland, where I attended the anniversary dinner of the Peña Indios de Caledonia. I have some very dear friends from there, and it's a very unique Peña where they speak both English and Spanish. And we had a great time. And some members of the Peña Polonia from Poland, they came also and joined in. It was a great big celebration. It's amazing.
It's absolutely wonderful, and everything you've shared with us is absolutely incredible. Those stories are—I mean—they'd be a special memory for anyone you mention, and it makes the connection even deeper. I mean, thank you so much for sharing this with us. You just mentioned your work with the Peñas. What are your thoughts about them? And can you give any advice to anyone who wants to travel to watch the team? To join any of the Peñas that are close to them.
Well, I have been very heavily involved with a number of people within the Peña system, and that's exactly what it is. There are recognized Peñas that are recognized by the club, and there are certain criteria that they have to follow so that they can be recognized by the club. You cannot just say, "Hi, my name is Bob or Ashley, and I'm going to form a supporters group for Atletico." You need to, if you are outside of Spain, outside the country of Spain, you have to have, I believe, a minimum of 25 or 30 supporters. But if you are within Spain, you have to have more than 50 people who are willing to sign up, and you must be a socio. That's the only people who can be recognized to form an official Peña. You can, of course, always have people that are welcome to participate in Peña activities and socialize and support the team, but you have to be able to prove to the club that you have the official number of people who are banding together to form these supporter groups. Most of them are organized by a neighborhood of a city or a city or a region. And they all have very unique personalities, and they are really amazing, wonderful people who really support this club. And so I'm a member of the Peña in New York, and we meet at a bar in Manhattan near the Empire State Building, and everybody is welcome to come. Sometimes it's hard for us to meet because when the Atleti play early in the day in Spain, it's a little difficult to get the Peña together at 8 o'clock in the morning Eastern time in a bar to watch the match. So it can sometimes be a little challenging. The same for Champions League matches. They start at 9 p.m. in Spain. And so that's 3 o'clock in the afternoon in New York when a lot of people here are working. So it can be a little challenging, but there are people who belong to Peñas all over the world, many in Spain, that when they travel to the United States for a vacation or for a business trip, they know where to find us and they will come and join us. And people will contact me through Twitter or Facebook, sometimes Instagram, and will ask, how can I join you to watch the match? And I will say I'm not there at the bar in New York to watch as much because I'm in Madrid watching the match. So sometimes I'm not there very often. But it's a great atmosphere. It's a great way to meet people. And the Peña New York welcomes pretty much everyone in the world. We're a big kind of Peña that's recognized by everybody as easy to get to in a lot of cases, and welcomes everyone to join us and watch the team and support the team. And the Peñas in Spain are very organized. They have membership meetings, and they have usually one or two big dinners during the year or celebrations, and they will invite members from other Peñas to join. If you want to be able to meet up with other people, you could, if you speak Spanish, you could affiliate with a Peña from maybe a town that you're familiar with or a town that you belong to. There are Peñas in other countries. I interact with a Peña in Brussels, Belgium, on occasion. Of course, the Peña from Edinburgh, from Scotland, and I've interacted with the Peña in London. Many in Spain. And you just kind of need somebody to give you an introduction. And then it just kind of expands from there.
And does it make it easier to travel maybe to away days or maybe to Madrid itself, being in a Peña?
To travel to Madrid, I would say no. Because there's so much to do there in that city if you've never been. And you also want to attend a match of the Atletico. It's not so much an issue, but it does make a big difference when you're going to an away match, particularly for Champions League. You can get in touch with people in advance and say, hey, what bar or restaurant are you going to be at before the match? Or where are we going to meet? So that we can travel. Sometimes it's easier to arrange travel to matches that are difficult to get to. I once flew from New York to Brussels. Then I traveled by train from Brussels to Antwerp. Then I got on a bus with Peña members from all over Spain. And from also there's a Peña that is based in Antwerp, Belgium, the Diablos Rojiblancos. And we all took a bus to Bruges, Belgium, to watch a match. We did that to go to Dortmund, too, because I found it was easier and safer for me, especially as a woman, to travel with a large group of people when I didn't necessarily know what I was doing or I wasn't familiar with that city. So I would recommend always traveling or trying to affiliate or hook up with somebody who is active in the Peña system, especially if you're unfamiliar with what you're doing for an away match, because it's very helpful.
Moving on from that, what are your hopes for Atleti next season, and what are your thoughts on the last season compared to the pre-Simeone days, seeing as how many people saw it as a disappointment?
I will be honest, I really cannot speak very much to the pre-Simeone days because my days began with Cholo. And I've met him. He's really interesting to talk to. He signed a bufanda for me a few years ago. This last season was difficult on a number of levels. It was difficult because, of course, football was restarting still during a pandemic, and we were finally able to return to the stadium. But of course, at the beginning, not all of us. There's always all these rumors. But no matter what the team does or does not do with signings and transfers, I'll be back in my seat in Section 427 next August to cheer them on. Because when I signed up to do this, when you sign up to be a socio, you renew every year automatically unless you resign your membership or, let's say, you die. It just renews automatically. It's just expected. It's a way of life. It's like breathing. And so you don't quit this, even if you are not necessarily happy with the results. It's a passion. It's a fight. It's being part of a larger family of people that think the way you do about this team. It's not easy. It's not for the faint of heart. But I'm excited to see what changes will come. As always, we all know every summer there's a surprise or two. So I guess I'm looking forward to that. And then going back the second week of August.
Wonderful. So nothing will move you away from the club, not even the return of fan favorite Alvaro Morata.
I will not be happy if Alvaro Morata returns. My personal opinion about Alvaro Morata is that he is a one-man money laundering scheme. It's amazing how much money has transferred hands over where he goes. I find that funny. I would not be happy to see him return if he returns. I just make my peace with it and I move on, as I have with some other players too. Because it's, you have to support the whole team. Even if there's a player or two that aren't your favorite, you still have to go out there and cheer them on.
Amazing. Would you like to add anything at the end of this interview?
No, not really. I just really would like to say again that if you've never been, make sure you go once in your lifetime, because it is truly an amazing experience and you will not forget it. And I'm always willing to answer questions for people if they're unsure about what to do or where to go or how to obtain tickets, which can sometimes be a little challenging too as well. But I would love to see the family of the Atletico grow with more people who are not Spanish or native Spanish speakers, so that more people can enjoy this special experience.
Amazing. And thank you so much for shedding so much light for us foreigners that haven't been very connected to the club. I thank you so very much, Ashley, for your time and for this wonderful interview.
You're welcome. Great talking to you.
Thank you so much. And of course, thank you guys for sticking with us. Remember, no quería sacar, and see you in the next episode.